Point of order. Point of order. This is the news according to me. It's the news according to me. Oh, this is good. This is getting good. I just ran across a video. I guess this just happened today. I don't know if it happened yesterday or I'm assuming it happened today. Let me see if I can find a date on this. It's my internet's going so slow now. I don't know what's happening. Jim Jordan. My buddy Jim. We need him here in Indiana. That's where we need him. This doesn't say. It doesn't say where's the information here? It's, there we go. Yeah, it doesn't say. U.S. Representative Jim Jordan, Val Demings, started screaming at each other in a House Judiciary Committee hearing today. Representative Jerry Nadler attempted to bring order by calling out Republicans, but not the Democrats. This is exactly what happened. This is from Dinesh D'Souza's channel on YouTube, his channel. YouTube channel. And this, I believe, apparently it was today, because this just came out in my feed, and it was just today. So, Dinesh posted this. And I want to play the whole thing, because I was going to have a show on something altogether different. But, and I may still get to some other points, but this is going to be good. So Jim Jordan, he's going over. He's giving his talk, and I think the subject here is something to do with defunding the police. By the way, I'm drinking. Let's back up for a moment. Let's just back up for a moment. Take a pause, chai tea, creamy chai tea with some Almond Joy creamer in it, which is, you know, one of my favorite things. I was going to have hot chocolate, but chai seemed to be the thing today. I haven't had chai for a while, so I decided on the chai. So there you go. Because tomorrow's trash day. That's why. So that's the reason. That's a good reason. It's a good enough reason for me. So I'm going to play this, and I wish you could see the video, because here again, we have Nadler. I'm sorry, but some of these people just need to retire. This has gotten absolutely ridiculous. If you could see the video of this whole thing, somebody just needs to run like a constant 24-hour feed on Nadler. Nadler and Biden. It could be like a split screen thing. Have Nadler on one side and Biden on the other. And you could probably interchange the two. You wouldn't know the difference other than the looks, how they look. Like all the stupid things they say. And as well as the stupid things they do. Oh my gosh. This is... Someone has to literally get up, walk over to Nadler, and tell him, like, show him how to hit the gavel on the thing. The hammer. Because he wasn't doing it. Things were spiraling out of control. People were shouting at each other. And he wasn't hitting the gavel. He just sitting there. And he can't decide who's having an argument with who. It's with whom. It's what a circus. And Nadler is in charge of this. Nadler's in charge of this ruckus. Oh, my word. Oh, my gosh. This is the House Judiciary, I think, committee is what it is. Let's see. Yep, House Judiciary Committee. I'm going to play this, and you see what you think. It's interesting to see, as I'm seeing it, it's one thing. Just being able to hear it is probably different. Maybe it's not even funny. I mean, it's funny in kind of a, not a ha-ha kind of way. It's more of a hee-hee kind of way. Funny hee-hee, not a funny ha-ha. So let's play this once and see what you think. Because it's ridiculous. Now listen very carefully, because you can hear, as Jim Jordan is speaking, you can hear Val Demings interrupting Jim. Speaking out, as they call it. Shouting out, speaking out, whatever you call it. So let's play this, see what happens. Here we go. Hopefully it plays, because it's... Internet just turned into Slowville here this afternoon, so let's find out what happens. And of course, you're not hearing that because there's a technical difficulty. So I'm going to replay this now, and we'll see what happens here. Okay, let's start back at the beginning again.
Last week, the Democrats started off the week with one of our colleagues from Detroit saying no more policing. We just heard the gentleman from Rhode Island say the Democrats haven't talked about defunding the police.
No, that's not what I said.
One of their members said
we haven't talked about policing.
No more policing. And let me just, the Democrat-run cities, New York City cut $1 billion from its police department's budget and saw a 97% increase in shootings. Los Angeles cut $170 million from its budget, saw an 11.6% increase in homicides. Austin, Texas, $150 million cut, 50% spike in homicides. Portland, Oregon, a $12 million cut, eliminated three police units. Shootings went up 173%, murders up 25%. I would bet the people, the residents of those communities, think this amendment is relevant, for goodness sake. Democrats started the week last week saying, get rid of police. They ended the week with one of our colleagues, Democrat colleagues, being admonished by a judge for the ridiculous things that they said. And somehow the gentleman from North Carolina's amendment's not relevant? Are you kidding me? This is as relevant as it gets, as timely as it gets. And I hope we could actually agree on something and adopt the gentleman's amendment. With that, I yield back my time.
Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman yields back. For what purposes the gentlelady from Florida seek recognition?
Move to strike the last word.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make it quite clear that this amendment is completely irrelevant. I served as a law enforcement officer for 27 years. It is a tough job. And good police officers deserve your support. You know, it's interesting to see my colleagues on the other side of the aisle support the police when it is politically convenient.
Now, she makes this statement. This is aside from what is actually going on here. I really wanted to focus on, the focus of this is just the point of order and the degradation and decline of where this goes to. And the insanity that it turns into. But the point that she makes here, can you tell me, can you give me one example of the colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle when they have not supported police? When they have not been the party of law and order? Excuse me, ma'am. But explain to me when that has been, when that has happened, when it has been convenient for them not to support the police. I've been around longer than she has, I think. Maybe she's a lot older than she looks. I don't know. I cannot remember a time when the Republicans have ever come out against the police. Now, there are problems with the police, don't get me wrong, and I wish that Republicans would not just blindly support them every time they get a chance. But to say that is absolutely asinine. What she's saying there is absolutely nuts. Tell me exactly when that has happened. It's now convenient? Where did she come up with this? But she says this kind of thing as a soundbite. Now, keep in mind, as this year plays out, they know this is not popular with voters. They know that anti-policing Defunding the police is not a popular move with most of America. They have to be very careful with this. Now, this is right down the playbook of what they need to do. Now, here's part of this whole defunding the police thing. This is a side note, along the other side note that's beside the note I was making. The side note is that this happens. This has happened before, where the policing structure, the law and order structure that was in place in a country, was removed. Not just once. This has happened many times. And in the process of doing that, they inserted a different force, but a force nonetheless. And you can call it the, much like the brown shirts, I guess they were called, the brown coats, brown shirts, whatever they were, the brown something. They wore brown jackets, coats, shirts. And the, or the other organizations that were a para governmental organization. See, what we're heading to here is a centralized police force. And I kid you not, this is where this is going. With these trillions of dollars flowing, you're going to see this happen now. And much like the TSA and the Homeland Security organization, all the other governmental alphabet soup organizations that are out there, the TSA, look back a few years before 9/11, even since 9/11, the TSA doesn't cover all of the airports. They still have contract labor at some of those. They have to meet TSA standards, but they are contracted to some of the airports I go to. Security is not TSA. They are TSA certified. Now, this was going on before 9/11. We had contract, almost all of airport securities, in Chicago, all over the place, before 9/11, was contract security. They operated the metal detectors and the people who did the searches and all that stuff. It was all done by non-government agencies, non-government organizations that won the contract bid to provide services to the airports. Well, after 9/11, that all changed. It was all TSA. Then they realized the TSA budget was too high. They couldn't cover it all. In some places, it was difficult. And when you've got TSA managers, this is back in 2001, the airport security manager's starting pay was $84,000 a year in little podunk town, Idaho. Wherever there was commercial service and wherever you had a thing, there was, you had massive expense at every single one of them. And of course, then you had the assistant director of TSA at the airport. And then you had a little guy. I think the starting pay for people at the TSA security booth there was over $40,000, I believe, when they first started the TSA organization. Now, keep in mind, there are pilots making less than that. The regional pilots, there are certainly flight attendants making way less than that. But there are regional pilots in the right seat, some in the left seat, back in that day, were not making that much. There were regional pilots, their first year pay, flying the little, what they call, puddle jumpers. By the way, they don't just jump puddles. It's not a puddle jumper when you're on it, because all of a sudden it's, that's a very important airplane when your life is on it. But the these puddle jumpers, they would jump around puddles, Oliver. And the right seat guy, the FO, the first officer, A lot of them in the first year would make about $18,000 to $20,000 if they were in a good job somewhere. Otherwise, they would be, you know, making more. Now, the second year, some of them would make, you know, upwards of that, closer to 30. The captains typically made $60,000 to $70,000 first, you know, when they first got captain pay. And it would go up from there. There were, you know, 20-year captains in the regional airline, which there were some at that time. The best paying ones were in anywhere from $110,000 to $120,000 a year after 20 years of service. So keep that in mind as they would walk through the airport being harassed, as these pilots would walk through the airport being harassed by TSA because TSA thought that they were all powerful at that time. They would make the pilots, when this first happened, pilots had to take off their shoes, open up their bags. You have to live out of your bag for 4 days, by the way. And by the way, no matter what we have in our bag, we have control of the airplane as we're walking through there. You know, so it's kind of one of those moot points. The pilots are walking through going, I already have control of the airplane. What are you exactly, why are you taking my tweezers away from me? Why are you breaking the file off of my nail clippers? Because I guarantee you, I will have my hands on the yoke of that airplane. So if you don't trust me now, don't trust me then. It's kind of the attitude that the pilots were taking. It was very disruptive. But they got through it professionally. Some of them, well, there's a couple of them that threw some bags. Heard some stories. But most of them got through it fine. And because that's just the way they are. And so they had, you know, so we had this going on. But these guys behind the rubber belt that was going around into the metal detector, the scanner, bag scanner, were making twice as much money as some of the pilots. How do you like that? That's really, now the potential to make more money was definitely on the pilot's side. Because after the guy who was the FO for a while, and of course, depending on the color of his skin and the gender of the individual, he might, in less than a year, he might be right seat in a 777 and making, you know, $120,000 a year. On his way to making $500,000 a year, flying once a month. That's the way it used to be. Not that way so much anymore, but that's the way it was. But I digress. Maybe it sounds like I know a lot about this pilot thing. So anyway, we ended up going into the future. And now it looks like we may have, because of the policing problem. I kid you not. This is where I think things are going. We are going to have not just an FBI. We're going to have a federalized police force. So you're not just going to see state and county, city officers running around your neighborhood chasing the bad guys. We are going to see federal police officers. And I guarantee you, this is where it gets bad. They are going to usurp jurisdiction over everything. I guarantee you this is going to happen. And here's what's going to happen with this. And this is why you have to understand what's important, what's happening with the courts. This is all part of the chess moves. The pieces have to be put into place. And part of this whole thing is that they have to have the SCOTUS. They have to have the Supreme Court to get this stuff through because it's very unconstitutional. But just as what happened again the other day, the Supreme Court chose not to take up a case, a voting case again, voter fraud case or whatever it was. that some state brought before them. And it didn't, excuse me, did not, I just decided not to take it. No standing. Didn't look at the evidence, didn't look at anything, just no standing. In other words, court doesn't apply to that. Which is absolutely, again, it's atrocious. And it's unfortunately, of course, I guess, you know, at this point, you know, you could say,
what difference does it make?
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't make any difference anymore. We're too far gone now. Too far behind it. It's not going to reverse the election. Not going to do anything different now. And the Supreme Court is doomed because of that. Because they're going to pack it. They're going to make it another legislative branch. It's going to be a representative branch and not a legal branch. Which, again, is a, it's atrocious. Sickening. All the things that they said Donald Trump was and is and would be and how terrible things would be because he was going to destroy the democracy, they are doing. Keep that in mind. And the reason that they thought those things were going to happen was because that's what they didn't want to take, you know, those were their plans. So now we have this ridiculous statement that this woman is making. That apparently she thinks that all of a sudden the Republicans have chosen because it's convenient to take the side of the police officers. And she's claiming that they're being used as pawns. Good police officers are being used as pawns. I was a police officer for 20-some years. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know what she did as a police officer. I don't know if she had a desk job. I don't know what she did. I have no idea. I don't know if she was on the beat. I don't know what she did. I have no idea. Maybe she was a good police officer. Maybe she should go back to doing that. She's so good at it. And all of a sudden, she's sticking up for the police. Because this is not a popular... Defunding the police is not a popular thing in the country. 70% of the Americans, which is... You can't get that in anything. Believe that the police should not be defunded. When they talk about police reform and they talk about all this stuff, I guarantee you, they have in the back of their minds, the plan is to come up with a federalized system or a way of controlling state and local police officials via an oversight team. I don't haven't heard about this yet, but I guarantee you it's heading there because I understand the way these people think. So you will start to hear this. I would say before the end of the year. I hate to put a date on it, but it's just that's the spirit of what's happening here. Because centralized control is what they're... Anything that involves centralized control is what they're after. And that's where we're headed. So let's continue to listen to this and see what else we have in store. Because this is where it gets interesting. And we start to have... a meltdown.
To do so. Law enforcement officers risk their lives every day. They deserve better, and the American people deserve... I have the floor, Mr. Jordan.
The lady has
what?
The floor.
Did I strike a nerve?
The law enforcement officers...
Now, you see, you have to understand, as she's speaking, her head is turned around, and she's speaking directly to Mr. Jordan. She's not making a statement of point. She's making a rebuttal and a speech that is not at all accurate at all. I don't understand what she's even saying in terms of how she thinks she's defending the police at the same time she wants to defund the police. This is crazy.
Better than to be utilized as pawns.
The gentle lady,
and you and your colleagues, the gentle lady will suspend.
This is all platitude stuff. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're using them as pawns. Okay, how exact? Explain to me exact. And she's just yelling at them. Now I understand she's passionate about this. She wants to get on this. She's upset about it. Please explain your argument. Because you have yet to understand what you mean by any of this. Got a lot of passion. That's not what we need right now. What we need is an explanation. And pounding on the desk, yelling, you should be ashamed of yourself. Don't use the police as pawns. Okay, that's a good statement. Let's go from there. And let's see what else she has to say. And I think you'll find that there's no substance here. So
listen, the clock will be stopped. I want to admonish members. They must not interrupt someone who has the time.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask
a
question?
You simply can't shout out. If you think that someone is saying
I agree.
If you,
Mr. Jordan, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You know nothing about what law enforcement
I know about my motive.
And you're using them as pawns because it's
everyone,
ridiculous political
purpose. Now,
okay, now, you have to understand, he just hit the gavel. Used his gavel to hit the podium there thing. A little striker plate. I don't know what to call it. Did a little pounding thing. Someone had to walk over to him and show him and like take his hand up and go up and down right next to the gavel to tell him to do that. Because he's just kind of sitting there in a daze. Now, at the same time, there's another man sitting behind Nadler who is, he's taking a stance almost like an umpire. Like he's ready to jump in there and make sure that Nadler does whatever needs to be done. So he doesn't fall out of his chair or whatever's happening. I'm not sure what's happening there. I'm going to do the Nadler shuffle off to the side. Which if you haven't seen that video, you need to see it. Nadler's standing there and the next thing you know, he obviously had an accident and he's shuffling off to the side. But he, in this particular case, he's sitting kind of sideways in his chair. And he's reprimanding the people who he doesn't like. So he's, it's turned into a shouting match back and forth. And Jordan is getting reprimanded for something that someone else did. Of course, now Jordan, Jordan's being fiery here too as well. They're both being fiery. They're both going at each other. I say just let them fight it out. See what happens. But he, Nadler's confused, dazed and confused. He obviously doesn't understand what's happening here. So let's continue on.
Now, everyone must suspend. I am making the point. No one may shout out when someone else has the time. Not Mr. Gohmert.
Now, there's, again, the guy who's the umpire behind him is saying something through the, you can't see people's mouths moving here, which is very, how convenient. The only thing I can tell you is, everybody who's shouting and talking, their masks are all falling down. They're all down below their noses. And again, these people are all supposed to be vaccinated, but they're wearing masks. Supposedly they've all been vaccinated, they're all still wearing masks. Because, you know,
well, you know, another layer, you know, can't hurt.
I got news for you. If you're spending time, let's take this break and go to a sponsor. There you go. That was my sponsor. Now, welcome back. Look, if you're spending time in a room with some people, if that room is fairly small, you know, say it's 20 by 20, and you're spending some time there, you're going to spend a couple hours with people, and you're going to have a meal, or maybe say it's a restaurant, and you're not wearing a mask, I got news for you. You're sharing the air, okay? There's no way to think that when you sit down at your booth or when you sit down at a table and somehow you're going to wash your hands, which is important, don't get me wrong. That's probably one of the most important things we do. You're going to use sanitizer on your hands and you're going to, you know, you're protecting the world. The problem with this is, okay, now this is where people don't realize how much stuff they touch all the time and how many times a day they touch their face. I don't know how many of you, when you first heard this whole thing about wash your hands and don't touch your face, how many of you tried not to touch your face and you literally just continued to find yourself touching your face? because that is a normal, natural thing to do. People who would be up reading speeches from podiums when this started happening, don't touch your face. And then the lady, the classic video is this one lady who's up there reading this little speech, and as she goes to turn the page, she licks her fingers, turns the page, as she's saying, don't touch your face. I think touching your face also includes licking your fingers. Now, having said that, you should also not touch your mask. Because if the mask is catching anything, spittle when you talk. Everybody spits when they talk. Can't help it. That just happens. So if anybody is touching their mask, they are touching the bacteria and all the spittle and all the stuff that's gathering in that mask and is harboring there because you're breathing warm, moist air through it, which bacteria love. They love the warm, moist, cozy comfort of a mask fiber. They grow on that. It's nice and dark in there. Hot, nice and warm and dark, moist. And there's a constant flow of warm, dark, moist air filled with spittle, potential food particles they can cling to. You can't get away from that. That's just the way it is, folks. We live in a world of poo. I think one of the biggest, the most important statements I ever heard on Mythbusters, I think I've talked about this before. The two guys on there, I can't remember their name, Jamie and somebody, whatever. These guys are doing this experiment about flushing toilets. There's like two bathrooms, I think, in this house. And they're putting these toothbrushes, brand new toothbrushes, around the house. And they have one, I think, that they put in the, someplace, I think, in the kitchen, maybe? A couple of them around the house, and they put some in the bathrooms. And the point is they're trying to measure the fecal material that aspirates into the air when you flush your toilet, depending on the type of toilet it is. Of course, these high-pressure flush toilets, they're incredible. They aspirate a whole bunch of water. I guess it's called aspiration. Is it called aspiration or vapor, whatever it is? Vaporizes it. Atomizes it. So they do this test. And, of course, the bathroom toothbrushes that they have, like, just kind of standing upright in a cup. They collect fecal material. And then they go out to the control toothbrushes in the kitchen. Those also contain fecal material. Very, very small amount, but they still contain fecal material. Now that I've grossed you all out, you have to understand. You need to understand. You should try to understand. We live in a world of poo. And that was the statement that one of them made, was obviously we live in a world of poo. You can't get away from it. So, I mean, you can try. You can do what you can to protect yourself as much as possible. But I'm telling you, it is futile. The germaphobes crack me up with some of the things they do. Okay, now here's an example. Person walks around, they're using their phone. And the cell phones are just absolutely atrociously dirty. That's why they have these cell phone sanitizer things now. Use UV light, pop them in there. 15 seconds later, they're clean, supposedly. All the material for bacteria to live on them is still there on your phone. It doesn't clean the phone off. It just kills the bacteria. All the stuff that the bacteria needs is still there so that when you... And now there's dead bacteria, which also adds to the fertile ground. And then you touch it with your hands again. Now you're introducing live bacteria to a nice fertile ground again. So it doesn't really do much. I mean, it does help. It's got to help somewhat. If you wash your hands and then you touch your phone, now it's better. But now you still got that material on your hands. But I digress. Anyway, the point here is that I see these germaphobes. And they use the sanitizer on their hands, which actually does have some repellent ability as well. Now, overuse of sanitizer can also be bad, and I'm not going to get into all that. But so let's say you're using sanitizer on your hand, and you go to pick up your phone. They pick up stuff and touch stuff they don't think about. Okay, they just touch their face. They've been touching their face all day. They touch their phone. All the stuff's all over the place. Then they sanitize their hands. Now their hands are clean. They don't touch their face. They make a point of not touching their face, but they touch their phone, which was either up against their face or they touch their hands after they touch their face anyway, touch their phone. So it's, like I said, it is futile. Now you can make, I appreciate people making the effort, and we need to make the effort to try to keep things clean and not touch our face and touch other things at the same time and keep our hands clean. But I'm just saying it is a lot more difficult than you think. And having done all of that, breathing air through a mask that atomizes the air even further, creates more of a vapor cloud than just normal breathing does. Now you've increased, let's just put it this way. Having a place in a restaurant where you can take your mask off to eat your food, because it's somehow safe now, or taking the mask off to put your food in your mouth and then chewing your food, which is just absolutely insane, in my opinion. Doing that is like having a peeing section in the pool. It's going into the restaurant. Unless you've got sunlight, UV, or some kind of UV light, which I don't understand. I do not understand why they don't put some UV, I think it's UVB and UVC or UVAD or whatever. There's a couple different UV light designations that literally destroy this virus. Why not put a few of those lights up in restaurants or in entryways in hospitals or entryways in buildings? Yeah, I don't understand. Why not just have those? I think that would help more than anything, more than some things. Certainly more than this stupid mask thing. So, and keep in mind, every time you touch your mask, now you've just contaminated once again your fingers, your hands. And I see people constantly adjusting their masks. So, having said all that, that's the side note about the mask. Now they got this guy behind Nadler now, and he's leaning forward now, and he's obviously speaking because you can see his mask going up and down and moving, bouncing around. He's trying to tell Nadler what to say. He has two people there coaching him through what's going on. Nadler has been in the Congress for how long? And he's sitting in the chair of this committee? And he has to have someone coaching him through it. I don't even know who these people are. I don't believe that they are even congressmen. They're just like assistants, and they look like they're like FBI or something. That's really weird. Telling him what to do. So let's continue on. There's just a little bit more left. There's about a minute and a half left of this whole tirade. Let's go on.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Not Mr. Jordan. Nobody.
Not Mr. Cicilline. Not Miss Demings.
He didn't do that. But nobody. Did.
Not Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Cicilline. Okay, nobody. I agree with that. But
then
I have a question.
How do we? Everybody.
I have a question.
I will simply. There is no question.
I got the same question.
Nobody may shout out.
When you give a speech, Mr. Chairman, about motives and questioning motives, our motives are
questioned. The guy keeps leaning up and telling him what to do.
The rules allow a request of words
when it's inquired.
Now the guy's standing up.
And you know nothing about that. And to utilize them as political pawns.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of inquiry.
Off.
Now the two guys are standing up next to Nadler. One guy's standing up beside him and keeps talking to him. Don't know what he's saying. At one point, you can kind of hear him speak a little bit, but you can't. I couldn't tell what he was saying. Now, let's go back over this a little bit more because I was talking over it. But let's see what she has to say here because she tries to make a point, but I don't. Again, I think it's just platitudes. So let's see again. Let's hear what she says.
Address that.
The rules allow a request of words.
I have watched them live and die, and you know nothing about that. And to utilize them as political pawns.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of inquiry.
Off.
Okay, so she's saying that she has been a police officer. She's seen them live and die, and you know nothing about that. And you're using them as political pawns. Officer Sicknick, for example. Was he a political pawn, ma'am? Because he didn't die from getting hit in a fire, with a fire extinguisher, but he laid in state during, you know, right before the big hearing. And I'm sorry, but that was a political pawn move, folks. That was disrespectful to that man. He deserved much better than that. How dare you, ma'am, say that they're using these people as political pawns and they should be ashamed of themselves. That's pot calling kettle. And it's absolutely despicable. And frankly, folks, I'm getting sick of this. I'm really getting sick of this. I don't know what else to say about it. The ability of these people to go continue to go lower and lower is really getting quite disheartening, to put it nicely. So let's continue on and see what these guys do behind Nadler, because they're basically, they're propping him up.
Chairman, I have a point of inquiry. Mr. Chairman.
The rules do not permit shouting out when someone else has the time. The only thing you may do when someone else has the time is you may raise a point of order, if you think it proper, and the chair will then rule on the
point of order, Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman will state his point of order.
So you gave us a lecture on people questioning our motives. When someone questions our motives, how do we address it when they're in the act of questioning our motives?
That is not a point of order.
Yes, it is.
That is not a point of order.
Mr. Chairman, may I continue, please?
That is not a point of order. Ms. Deming says the time, and the clock will resume. Gentle ladies, recognize.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad to hear that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle.
So, that's all. That's all the clip has on it. So, a point of order would be asking exactly what Jordan is exactly the definition of point of order that Jordan was asking. I don't know how much more clear you could get than that. So, henceforth, this is what we have going on. And this is the degradation and the decline of our current state of the Union. I've got chai. So, I want to... I just want to be, you know, straightforward with everybody and explain this. This is, I don't know if everybody's as frustrated as I am about this. I pick on the left a lot. And I talk about the ridiculousness of how they handle things and the way you have to understand you're dealing with a junior high kid when you're dealing with the left, and you cannot expect anything other than double standards and hypocrisy. Okay, that's not a trait that they care about. This is they don't have any kind of standard there that you can call them out on. Well, they can call it out on other people, that they can't call it out on themselves. So you just can't use that. I mean, you can point it out, but you can't expect any change on that. They're not going to come back and say, "Yes, you're right. That was hypocritical of me, and I'm sorry." When was the last time you heard them say that? Now, you know, they double down, which now on the other side, we have Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, in my opinion, has been, you know, he talks like a very nice man. Here again, this is one of those analyses that I have, an analysi that I have of people who speak a certain way. And this is Kevin McCarthy. Kevin, I don't know the guy personally. I don't know. I've never talked to him, never spoken to him. All I can tell you is this. In my opinion, this is my analysis of Kevin McCarthy. He thinks that he is a very smart man. He thinks that he's a good communicator. He thinks that he's very kind and very, what he has to say is very important, and he's going to talk to you now like a parent because he's extremely condescending. Now, the words that he speaks may not necessarily be condescending. It's the way he says them. And maybe he needs to talk to some people like this. But when he speaks to the American people many times, he deliberately slows down, which there's nothing wrong necessarily with that. But he comes across as if he's trying to explain something to an elderly senile person or a 3-year-old. That's just the way I see it. As I call it like I see it, and that's what I see when I hear Kevin McCarthy speak. Now, I like the guy's first name. He's a good first name. And, you know, his last name isn't bad. It's just his first name is you know, stellar. His first name outshines his second. Let's just put it that way. Second and third, whatever, however many names he's got. So we have all this going on. Kevin McCarthy the other day basically called out, I've heard him say some stupid things lately. He called out something about, I believe it was Marjorie Taylor Greene when she was doing the caucus thing. And he reprimanded that situation. I heard him call out, speak about Officer Sicknick as well. And say some stupid things there that have now been found to be untrue. He will go along with the Democrat talking points. He will do that. I've heard him do it several times just to get a pat on the head from them. You know, you realize he would be the Speaker of the House if they would have won, if and when they take back the House. Now, again, they have another year and a half, a little more. They have, you know, basically about a year and a half before the next election. And they've already made tremendous changes. And they're ramping up to do more. And half the stuff that's going on we don't even know about yet. All the legislation that's hiding in the weeds that's ready to pop out. And they are taking advantage of this incredibly thick undergrowth of news cycle, because they can push things through, they can do things that aren't big enough to make the big news cycle. And of course, the big story right now is the Chauvin case and the fact that the jurors are out right now, not being sequestered, which I think is an idiotic idea. Who thought of that? Whose idea was that? Because that's just stupid too, in my opinion. Whole lot of stupid going on, but I digress. And I need to press on and go home because it's getting late. You're probably tired of hearing me talk about just complaining about all this stuff. But these are the opinions I have, and this is where I'm going to go with all this. So in the meantime, a word from our sponsor. Oh yeah, we don't have one. Okay, so anyway, this is Tuesday, the Tuesday afternoon show. Probably be posting in about an hour. It's about 4 o'clock on Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. And I want to thank all of you for being with me this afternoon, listening to this morning's show. And I got to say, the numbers I haven't talked about this for a while, but the numbers are actually looking up. And let me just go over some things here. I like to talk about the geographic stats once in a while. Let's see what we got here. Anybody new on the... Yeah, still no New Zealand. Speaking of new, no New Zealand. We do have... it doesn't have the numbers on there. Why doesn't it have the numbers on there? Japan, we do have, of course, Romania, Norway, Jersey. This is from the bottom up. These are the lowest numbers. Romania, Norway, Jersey, Japan, Chile. I think we're going to turn that off and start it again. Chile, Peru, Tanzania. I don't think that's a new one. Vietnam, Venezuela, Iran, Costa Rica, Netherlands, Nigeria, Taiwan. Of course, the United States is the largest number. Germany, Canada, Russia, Singapore, Ireland, United Kingdom, Finland, France, Sweden, Macedonia, Italy, Australia, Taiwan. Yeah, it goes on down the list there. But the and we're up in the thousands there and some of those. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to look at that once in a while. I don't remember Tanzania for some reason. But that's already up. That's up the chart quite a ways there already. So that's interesting. Yeah, there's more. Yeah, there is more over there. So yeah, Sweden. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's fun. It's kind of a fun thing. New Zealand. Still nobody from New Zealand. Come on, our Kiwis. Get your act together. Get on it. So, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing, subscribing, for liking, for reposting, reblogging, reconstituting, rehashing. Whatever it is you do with this podcast, I appreciate whatever it is. And again, you can call in 574-742-6748, or you can text me at that number, 574-742-6748. I don't have an email yet, but we're going to get an email. I guess you could send an email to thenewsaccordingtome@gmail.com. That's thenewsaccordingtome@gmail.com. Send an email. Feel free. It's free. Email's free. God bless everybody. Have a great evening. Have a great night. I'll see you early, early tomorrow morning on Wednesday. Trash Day. Trash Day.